In late February or early March in 1988, someone found a Bohemian waxwing right at an entrance to the Miller Hill Mall. The poor bird had an open wound on his foot and seemed to be intoxicated, a condition that occasionally affects waxwings in late winter as sugars in fruits and berries ferment. We'd already started calling our house the Peabody Street Detox Center, and now suddenly I had a real live Bohemian waxwing in my hands. The delicate body feathers were just as soft as I'd imagined, while the bright feather parts had a smooth, waxy texture. But what seemed even softer and more wondrous than the bird's plumage was its soft, gentle nature. As sociable flocking birds, waxwings have a deep-rooted need for companionship, and when they don't have other waxwings to hang out with, will sometimes settle for other species, at least temporarily. This handsome bird ate raisins and applesauce right out of my hand and included my 2-year-old son Tommy in his new circle of trust, readily alighting on Tommy's finger. Unfortunately, I don't have photos, but I can still picture in my mind's eye the wide-eyed delight on Tommy's face looking into the eyes of this handsome bird who looked right back at Tommy. The little bird sobered up by the second day, but I was giving him antibiotics for his foot gash, so kept him for a few days longer. Every now and then he'd make soft little notes, and whenever he did, if I looked out, there would be a flock of waxwings in our mountain ash. His keen hearing could pick them out even with all our windows closed. His foot healed well, and his restlessness grew whenever he heard a flock outside, his soft little notes like pleas to the birds to come rescue him. So one morning, during a warm front, I carried him out to the front porch, crouched down low so Tommy could bid him farewell, and opened my hand. You'd think a captive bird would fly off instantly when you let it go, but in my experience, they take a moment or two to get their bearings. Early spring music, the zip of pine siskins and the trickling gurgle of melting snow, filled the air. The waxwing sat in my hand for a full minute or so, looking from me to Tommy to the nearby trees. Then he nonchalantly took off, flying up to a maple tree to perch, looking all around and preening his wings and his tail, maybe trying to shake off the taint of captivity. We watched him for a while and then went inside, Tommy wistfully waving to him and saying, "Bye-bye, waxwing." We peeked out the living room window several times. After a few minutes, he flew to the mountain ash, so we had to switch to my bedroom window, where we watched him eating berries. He glanced occasionally at us through that window as he ate. An hour or so later, a small group of waxwings joined him. We could still recognize him because his tail feathers had become slightly bent, one of the problems of keeping any wild bird in captivity. Of the flock, he was the only waxwing that peeked at us through the window. The group stayed in the tree for only a few minutes. Fortunately, Tommy and I were watching when they finally took off. "Bye-bye, waxwing," we said together to the best bird ever. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.